Now, before I read to you from the book of Amos, I just want to ask you guys, have you seen the new commercials about the iPhone 6? Anybody seen the buzz about the iPhone 6? Anybody? Y'all live like under a rock? You alive? You seen it, right? And, you know, people are saying that the iPhone 6, you know, if they sit on it or whatever, it starts to curve and bend and all that stuff. But I have a problem with the iPhone 6, and I just have to get it off my chest. This morning, before we even get into this message, it actually has to do with the message, but I just got to get this off my chest. There's something that really bothers me about the iPhone 6, and that is, in all the commercials that I've seen about it, in all the advertising that I've seen, and in all the features lists that I have read about this phone, it drives me insane because I feel like they're leaving some things that are really functional out of the features list. Like, this phone can do so much more than what they're telling you, and it just drives me crazy, and I want to just let you know a little bit about it. For me, if I were doing Apple's marketing, I would have advised them, on that features list, you also need to put that phone makes a really nice paperweight. If you're ever outside and a breeze is blowing, you don't need an app for that. You don't even have to download anything. That is functional, and it's a blast. You should try it sometime. If you're ever outside and the wind is blowing, you can just use that phone as a paperweight. It'll hold it down. You don't believe me? Try it. It'll hold it down really good. Another thing that they left off the features list is the iPhone 6 actually makes a fabulous doorstop. Fabulous. Like, I mean, it will hold the door open. Try it. Like, you can wedge it right up under there, and it's fantastic. It'll hold that door open for hours. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to check back. They didn't even mention it. Can you believe that? They didn't mention any of that. One other really awesome function of the iPhone 6 that, you know, it impresses me more than any other is that the iPhone 6 is an amazing fly swatter. It's so much better than the 5. The 5 is smaller. It's slim, you know, you have to have better aim. But the surface area of the 6 is so much bigger. Like, you can drill bugs. You can handle your pest problem with the iPhone 6. But nobody is talking about it. Nobody is mentioning any of those things to you, so I thought I would. Now why in the world wouldn't Apple advertise those things about the phone? Why wouldn't they tell you that it's an amazing paperweight, that it's an amazing doorstop, it'll hold it open for hours, that it can kill, it can just shut down any bug. I mean, you just slam it on something. Why did they leave it all out? Because although the iPhone 6 would be excellent at all those things, that was never its intended function. Its creators and its manufacturers deemed that you would be more satisfied with the phone if you used it the way it was intended. If you sent texts, watched videos, sent emails, they left all those awesome features out because those were never its highest and best purposes, and that was never the intended function of the iPhone, although if you own one, you have the freedom to use it any way you want to. But the funny thing about that horrible example is that many of us in our own life become dissatisfied and disinterested, and we become frustrated with life not working out the way it's supposed to, not functioning the way it ought to, our life not measuring up to how everybody else's measures up. And if we look just a little bit deeper at the dissatisfaction that you might be experiencing in your life, maybe it's because you're not living the way that you were intended. Maybe you're not making the decisions that are your highest and best purpose. Maybe you aren't living and maximizing for the full intent in which you were created. Many people get frustrated with their life because they have the freedom to make any decision that they want to, and they consistently use their life in the wrong applications. They use their life the wrong way. Sure, it'll work as a paperweight. Sure, it'll work as a doorstop. Sure, it will. But you'll never be satisfied. You'll never realize that phone's full potential unless you start using it the way in which it was intended. And your life is exactly the same. Many of you are frustrated because you make decisions based on your own flesh, based on your own passions, and you are not living the life that you were intended and created and destined to live. Therefore, you become frustrated and dissatisfied, and you complain about your situation and circumstances when all the while you were never living the way you were created to live and fulfilling the purpose that God intended for your life. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse number 4. Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. I'm just going to read one really beautiful verse to you about the purpose in which you were created, the function of your life, the highest and best purpose of your life, the area in which you will become most satisfied. Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live. And so I want to read to you from Amos 5. The word says, thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, meaning the church. He says, if you will seek me, you shall live. You were created to seek him, to know him, and to dwell in the presence of the Most High God. That is your purpose. That is your function. That is the highest and best use of your life. That is the greatest use of your time. That is the greatest function of the human experience. And anything outside of that will be unsatisfactory. Anything less than that will leave you empty. Anything less than that will leave you confused, wondering why life isn't what it was meant to be. Looking around at everybody else and wondering why they're experiencing joy, they're experiencing peace, and you are dissatisfied and confused. Our highest and our best function is to seek him, and then we will find life and life more abundantly. I just want to say this to you the best way that I know how. You haven't lived until you have met Jesus. You have yet to taste the fullness of life until you haven't had an encounter with Jesus. You have yet to live until you know what it's like to be in the presence of the Most High God. Everything else dims, everything else pales, nothing else compares to the greatness of knowing him. We were created to seek him, and then you will live. And I want to break this translation to you just a little bit clearer. In modern terms, the Lord would say it to you like this: if you will seek me, you will come alive. If you seek me, you'll come to life. The dead areas in your life will begin to come back to life. The dreams that were God-given that have died because of the time that has lapsed and the failure and the unlet down expectations, those dreams that were once dead will come back to life when you begin to seek him. That passion that you used to have when you first became a follower of Jesus will come alive in you when you begin to seek him. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all other things will be added to your life. We were created and designed to seek him, and anything else than that will be dull, boring, and never satisfied. Nothing in this world can do, nothing but the presence of the Most High God. You ought to give him praise this morning. You haven't lived until you met Jesus. Some of you gentlemen might be able to relate to this a little bit. It's kind of like whenever that girl that you were crushing on for all that time finally says yes to your date, and your blood pressure starts going and you start sweating and you start overthinking things and overanalyzing things. But as soon as you get on that date, you know, you start you start feeling alive. You start coming alive. You start to hear a little better. You start to see. You definitely see better. And you just, your functions seem to just come alive, if you know what I'm saying. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Ladies, it's the same for you. Just reverse it. I'm not going to do that. That'd be weird. But when you had that date, when you spent that time with that special someone, something inside of you came alive. Something inside of you started to awaken. The food that you've eaten all the time just started to taste a little bit better. The places that you've always seen start to look a little bit brighter. You start to come alive. And then a funny thing happens to you. Things that used to completely bore you and disinterest you, if she's interested in them, all of a sudden it's the greatest thing you've ever heard. It's like before you met her, BC, before her, you were a dog person. But she likes cats, so now you're like, yeah, I love them too. I love them too. You know, it's funny. I got a picture on my refrigerator. I love them too. You know, you start to get interested in Twilight. You've been reading all the books. You used to be bored out of your mind, but now it's coming alive. You're like, you know, that cat used to drive me insane, but I love it now. If you love it, I love it. Isn't it funny how being around that special someone brings you to life? Seeking, pursuing that relationship brings you to life. Ladies, you may have watched 10 football games in your life and they bored you to death, but that guy that you're interested in loves football, and so all of a sudden you start to like football too. It starts to come alive to you. And the word in Amos 5 says, if you seek him, you shall live. If you will spend time in his presence, the things that once bored you, the things that once put you to sleep, will bring you to life. Your food will start tasting better. Your life will start coming alive. In the presence of the Most High God, you shall surely live and come alive. You haven't lived till you've known Jesus. You haven't lived till you've known Jesus. You see, and I've said this many, many, many times before, and I'm going to say it again. Your Creator knew what he was doing when he fashioned you in his image and likeness, and he created you incomplete with a void inside that is so large that it could only be filled by one thing, and that is his presence. There is nothing in this world that will do. There is nothing in this life that can satisfy, nothing but him. And if you showed up this morning and church isn't your thing, you don't do this, you don't do all the loud music and all the crazy people preaching, let me just tell you this. If you're dissatisfied with life up to now, it might just be that you've been living and you've been doing things that were less than your intended function. You might have just been living in such a way that was a little bit lower than what you were really meant and destined and promised to live. There is something greater than anything you've ever known, and it is found no other place than the presence of the one who created you and breathed life into you. If you get to know him, you will come alive. The word likens unbelievers to spiritually dead. It says, what fellowship does those with the life have with the dead? You before you meet Christ, you are spiritually dead. But when he comes into your life, he quickens you to life. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. And this is the message for you this morning. This right here is the scripture that the Lord put on my spirit, on my heart, undoubtedly for you today. And I pray that your heart would receive this, that your ears, the Bible says, let any man who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to this body, to this people this morning. Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. This is ridiculous. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that hath formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Now watch this right here, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's all I want to read from Jeremiah 33. I love this. You got to come alive right here. Jeremiah 33:3 says, if you will call on the name of the Lord, if you will call unto me, I will answer you. And I won't just answer you, but I will show you great and mighty things. Things that you didn't know before. Things that you were completely unaware of. If you will call upon my name, if you will seek me, if you will draw close to God, he will draw close to you, and he will not only answer you, but he will show you the great and the mighty things that were formerly secret and unknown to your life. This is about to wreck your world. I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this, it will change your life. Jeremiah 33 says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will answer you. And that's what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. If you will call on him, if you will seek me, you will come alive. If you will call upon his name, he will answer you. And he will show you great and mighty things. We're going to break this verse down really quick. And I want to start at the very end of verse 3. I want to read it to you. Verse 3 again. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things. Now, watch the last four words. Which thou knowest not. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you don't know. Tell him, you don't know. In other words, God has something great and something mighty to tell you that you do not know in the current. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter if this is your first time ever in a church. It doesn't matter your tenure, your spiritual rank. What matters is God Almighty has great and mighty things to tell you that you currently are completely unaware of. Things that pertain to your destiny. Things that pertain to your promise. Things that reveal the plan and the purposes of heaven over your life that you do not know right now. The word tells us that, and I love this verse. The word tells us, I'm going to give it to you real fast so you got it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, you got to get this. I want you to listen really closely to the word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So I want to read. Hosea 4 says, my people, they perish for a lack of understanding. Not the world. He's not saying the lost, the unbelievers. No. He said who? My people. They perish. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, for a lack of understanding. What is he really saying in Hosea? My people aren't seeking me. My people aren't living out their intended function. They're not living out their highest and best purpose. My people, they're not in my presence like they ought to be. And because of it, I have not been able to reveal to them the great and the mighty things that they do not know. Right now, and what you do not know might be hindering your life. What you do not know can harm you. What you do not know, what you are not aware of, can destroy you. Is it the word? Hosea said, my people, they are destroyed. They perish for a lack of knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? The presence of God, being in his presence. He said, if you will call upon my name, I will answer you. Now, go back with me to Jeremiah 33. Go back with me. Now, I got to just set a little prerequisite here that you got to understand before I go any further in Jeremiah 33. Some people read this and they look at Jeremiah as the prophet, which no question he was. He was ordained of God before he was even born out of his mother's womb. God had ordained him a prophet to the nations of the world. And you might read this, you might hear this message, and you're thinking, God talked to me? No, God only talks to the prophets. God only talks to the priests. God only talks to certain chosen individuals. But I want to just tell you that that's not at all what this word is foreshadowing and what it's enlightening us as the church today. It's talking to the church, the Israel, the people of Israel, which spiritually by faith you are. You are in the bloodline of Christ. He's talking to anyone and everyone. If you will call on the name of the Lord, he will answer you. It doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how messed up your past is. God is not standing at a distance from you. He will answer anyone who will call upon his name. He will. So now, anyone and everyone can call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want to zoom in a little bit closer to verse 3. He says, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Now, if you study the word and you use the Hebrew terminology that the author uses right here, it's absolutely incredible. What these words great and mighty mean are this. He says, I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. The original Hebrew words that are used right here for great and mighty mean this. God will show you large, intense, loud, important things that were formerly secrets to you. In fact, if you go a little bit deeper, it says this, that God, the Hebrew words, literally their exact translation right here in this verse, say that God wants to reveal to his people secret and fenced in things is the exact words that are used in the Hebrew language. That God wants to show you things that are fenced in, things that are hidden, things that are mysterious, things that are secret. He wants to reveal to you his secrets and his purposes. Things that are reserved for such a time as this. And if you continue to draw out the Hebrew terminology, it will blow your mind. It says literally that the things God wants to reveal are beyond human comprehension. The thing that he wants to reveal to you are beyond your wildest imagination. You might be in this room this morning and you're searching for your future. You're unsure of what the future holds for you. You don't know what decisions to make. You don't know what path to take in your life. You're at a crossroads, a place where you have to make a decision and you're unsure. You don't know which way to go. I want to encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord and seek him, and he will show to you the fenced in, hidden, secret things that apply to your life, that reveal to you facets of his character, that will give you direction, that will give you guidance. This relationship with God is living. It is vibrant. It is not dormant, dusty, and locked away. It is a living, breathing, thriving relationship where God is concerned with the affairs of men, and he is concerned about your future, and he wants to show you things along the way that will make you and lead you into the person that you were destined and created to be. You might feel completely alone. You might feel abandoned by men. Maybe your parents, your grandparents pulled out the support from your life because you didn't choose the path that they wanted for you. And you feel abandoned. You feel alone. You feel disoriented. I want you to know this morning, you are not alone. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will surely answer you. He will surely reveal the things to you that which you do not know right now. And it is possible that the things you do not know can destroy you. I'm telling you, if you want to experience the fullness of this life, If you want to come alive today, if you're tired of just living a mundane, normal, average life, going through the routine, going through the normal, then spend time in the presence of God. If you seek Him, you will come to life. You'll come to life. And I just got to take a time out real quick. And I got to just talk this one to you real quick. Because, you know, when we're in church, we're like, oh yeah, God wants to talk to me. Amen. Yeah, that's cute. Nice. Amen. Where are we going for lunch? But I just need to talk to you for just a minute. Like, without all these notes and all, I just need to talk to you. The God who laid the foundations of the earth, the one who filled up the oceans and created every crustacean and every sea creature in it, underground, underwater volcanoes. He illuminated the stars with the heavens. He breathed the clouds into motion. The one who created the atom and the human cells. The one who fashioned the human body. Who created and formed together the brain, which is the most complex form of matter on the universe. The one who spread out and unrolled the scrolls of the universe, stretching it hundreds of millions of light years apart. That God wants to talk to you. That God wants to breathe life into you. That God wants to reveal to you the things that were formerly unknown. That God wants to reveal to you the secrets of His creation. Do you get the words that are coming out of my mouth? It's incredible. It's beyond our comprehension that He would call me friend. He loves you beyond anything you could ever imagine. Do not let anything separate you from the presence of God. I'm going to tell you, you can live your life any way you want to. You can busy your life. You can occupy yourself doing anything you want to. You can make money your God. You can make your spouse your God. You can make your children your God. You can make anything. You can spend your life any way you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. It's all empty aside from knowing Him. Aside from knowing Him, it's all empty because nothing else will do. Nobody else could expand the heavens. Nobody else could raise the mountains up out of the depths of the sea. Nobody else could do it but Him. And that God is not a million miles away from you. He is your ever-present help in your time of need. He is Emmanuel. He is God with you. And I'm going to go just a little step further. He is anxiously awaiting a conversation with you. Anxiously awaiting you to take your eyes off of this material physical world and lift your eyes towards heaven and say, I love you. I thank you. I just want to know you. And you know what? Maybe you haven't talked to God in a while and that awkward tension is what's keeping you from talking to Him. He can handle it. He's seen every aspect of your life. Don't let the time that has lapsed keep you from engaging Him today. You have no need of being ashamed and guilt-ridden. He says, come to me just as you are. So many people try to clean up their life before they come to God, and that is a vicious, deadly cycle that will never end because you will never be righteous enough to enter into the presence of God by your own human merit, by your own good works, by your own attempts to obey the law. You will never be good enough, ever. But it is not our righteousness that grants us access, but it's the eternal matchless, precious blood that was spilled out for you on Calvary that gained you access into the throne of grace in your time of need, into the presence of God. It is not your righteousness that makes you worthy, that gives you access. Rather, it is your faith and your dependence upon His finished work that makes you right to approach the throne of God. He's anxiously awaiting a conversation with you. Now, if you have your Bible, flip with me one more place this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's about to get real in here. And I'm really excited about this. 1 Samuel chapter 3. God anxiously awaits a conversation with you. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse, I'm going to start in verse 2. You may not have verse 2 on the screens. That's my fault. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel laid down to sleep, that the Lord God called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou hast called me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And when he went and laid down again, verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lay down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be. And if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So I want to read. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see an interaction with God and his creation. Samuel at this time, one day he would become the high priest of Israel, but at this time he was yet a boy, a small child, dedicated to the Lord, serving as an intern in the temple. And as he lays there in the darkness of night, just before the lamp in the temple grows dim, he hears God call his name. And Samuel awakens and he goes back to Eli, who was the high priest, and he says, "Eli, what do you need? I heard you call." And you know the story from there. But this morning, we've been talking a lot about seeking God and dwelling in God's presence. And that is the initial design. That is the reason that you were created. That is your highest and best function. But we need to draw some lessons from 1 Samuel before we are ready to conclude this morning, because you have to understand what it looks like to hear from God. It's one thing to call on his name, and it's another thing to hear from him. The first thing I want to say to you about hearing from God is one thing. The enemy, according to Scripture, he roars, seeking, roaming, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy roars, but God whispers. And I've heard a pastor say before that the reason that God whispers when the devil roars is because that God is so much closer to you than you think. Think about it. You have to be in close proximity to hear a whisper. The Lord, the Bible says, his voice is still and small, a whisper. Why? Because it's a reminder that he's close to you. But you got to understand something. When you call upon the name of the Lord, the word says he will answer you. And I'm crazy enough to believe that there have been many times in your life and in mine where we have called on the name of the Lord and we did not perceive or we did not recognize his answer. Because God, when he responds to men, is often very unpredictable. I didn't get any amens on that, and I didn't expect to, but let it sink in. God is unpredictable. He does not follow the schedule or the patterns of men. He is God. He is the potter, and we are the clay. He is unpredictable. You don't believe me? Read the Gospels. Anytime Jesus showed up on the scene, he came walking on the water in the midst of the darkness of night. He did not do what they expected him to do. And when God shows up in your life, he is not coming the way you perceive him. He is not going to come to you the way in which you are looking for him. He comes in the most unpredictable of fashions. He comes like he came to Samuel in the midnight hour. The Bible says that when Samuel heard the whisper of God, the oil, the lamp in the temple had just about gone out. According to Jewish tradition, they wouldn't put the lamp out until dawn. So it's very likely that this text takes place 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. God could have spoken to Samuel at 3 in the afternoon. He could have just put everything in a cookie cutter, straight and organized in orderly fashion, but he didn't. He chose to show up in an unexpected way at an unexpected time and to whisper into the prophet's ears. And so he will do with you. He will not come how you expect him, and he may not come when you want him, but he will always show up right on time, and you must be aware of the whisper of God. He is unpredictable, and he does not do what you expect him to do. And remember this, and I love this. This will preach so, just so hard. Like, this is incredible. The voice of God came in the midst of the darkness. It came in the darkness. Meaning that Samuel didn't hear from God when he was sitting in row 3, section 4 of the church. When everything was perfect and the candles were lit and everything was in its place. No, it was in the darkness that God spoke. It was in the darkness that his voice proceeded. You might be surrounded by chaos in your life. You might be going through a situation that's cloaked in darkness. Rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. His voice can come even in the darkness. And this is something that I love that we can pull out of 1 Samuel. In life, when you can't see your way out, in life, when you can't see your way out of the situation you are in, when you can't see, listen. It was dark in the temple. The light had almost gone out. They could not see. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you can't see your way out of the situation that you are in, listen. Listen for the whisper of God. And I gotta show you one other thing really quickly from 1 Samuel. Because this is about to just hit home. We read this text and we see it's kind of humorous that God would speak to Samuel. And Samuel would rise up and run to Eli. He would say, Eli, what's up? I'm here. And isn't it funny how the same thing happens with us when God tries to speak to you, when God tries to speak to man, often the first thing that we do is get up and run to people asking their opinion, taking a survey on what they think we should do. After all, we just heard from God. How many times in your life has God given you a vision? God given you a dream? God given you direction? God whispered it in your ear and it didn't come the way you thought it would. It didn't sound like what you thought God would say. It lined up with the word, yes, because his whisper will always be backed by the word. He'll never say anything contrary to the word. But you heard God say something that you didn't expect him to. And so the first thing you did was start to question it and ask everybody else their opinion about what God already told you to do. Stop taking a survey and asking everybody else, was that God? Was it? Pick up the book, and if the voice agrees with the book, you heard from God. He'll never lead you contrary to the word. And the last thing I want to draw out of 1 Samuel real quick is we live in a generation and in a world which you are firmly aware of, where it is an instant gratification society. If it didn't happen yesterday, I'm not interested. The popcorn in the microwave didn't go fast enough, so I'm going to go get something else. We are an instant gratification society, and if it didn't happen the way we thought it should, when we thought it should, we're disinterested, and we're upset, and we're frustrated. Get over yourself, because this is not going to work that way. God does not adhere to the schedule of men. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is God. We are creation. I've had so many people say to me, well, I was seeking him. I didn't hear anything. I prayed and I didn't hear anything. When did you pray? Just a couple minutes ago. Can I just talk to you for just a minute? You cannot put demands on God when he's going to speak to you. And if he doesn't speak to you in X amount of time, then you're done. You're going to go on, abort his plan and go with yours. That's the sure way to destruction. What did the word say in Hosea? People perish for a lack of knowledge and understanding. If you don't hear from God, it would be better for you to stay right where you are than to do anything else. If you don't hear from God, stay put. Do not abort his plan just because he didn't speak to you in the time or in the fashion or in the manner in which you expected. And this is so cute. This reminds me of something that's also familiar. Love is patient. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. And if you're going to approach the God of love and grace, who is the epitome of patience, you better buckle up and be ready to wait. Because the first virtue ascribed to love is patience. You say you love him. I'm just being real with you. You say you love him. But if he doesn't show up or speak or give you the sign in the clouds that you're expecting, you're ready to walk away. The first virtue of love is patience. And I got to say one last thing. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. So many people, when they expect to hear from God, they're looking for some huge, grandiose sign in the heavens, like God's gonna reorganize the clouds that says yes, and we're like looking for the big sign, and God is speaking to you all around. He's whispering in your ear. There's signs all around you, and you're overlooking all of them because you're looking for something grandiose. Can I remind you that though our God is great, sovereign, magnificent, he's also a God the small, the minute, and the detail. He is a God of the whisper. And I want to encourage you, when you wait patiently to hear from the Lord, be careful that you don't overlook his obvious call, because you're looking for something so grandiose. Remember, he will come in unexpected, unpredictable ways. Let's pray.